Well, since this is my first weekend here at the new parish, I thought I should begin by letting you know a little bit about myself. I grew up in the country, down on the far south coast, in Derry country, on a farm about 20 kilometres north of Bega, in a place called Brogo. I went to school in Bega. My parents were very involved in the church, and my family and I would go each weekend to Mass, and we were involved in lots of other ways as well. In my final year at school, I joined the local youth group, the Antioch group, and it was there that I became very much involved in the church. I then moved to Sydney to study economics and accounting at Sydney University, and during that time I became much more deeply involved in the church and there began to ponder whether I had a vocation to the priesthood. And I worked for a couple of years in university ministry and then entered the seminary at St. Pat's College in Manly before continuing my seminary studies at the Seminary of the Good Shepherd in Homebush. I've been in the parish of St. Michael's in Nowra for the last 5 years, and I was ordained a priest 4 years ago. Okay, moving to the gospel. Now, you will remember that last Sunday we had that passage in the Gospel of Luke when there's a decisive turning point in the gospel. It happens in chapter 9 in verse 51, where it says, "And Jesus resolutely set his face towards Jerusalem." And then there's this movement, this journey, as Jesus then makes his way towards Jerusalem. In chapter 13, we're told that Jesus is ministering in the region between Galilee and Samaria, working his way through the towns and villages on his way to Jerusalem. Again, in chapter 17, we're told about the prediction about the passion of Jesus as he goes towards Jerusalem. Again, in chapter 18, and then finally in chapter 19, he arrives on that day that we call Palm Sunday, when he makes his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. So there's this determination and this commitment by Jesus to make his way to Jerusalem. But as he goes, he also shares this mission and this passion with first the disciples. In chapter 9, we have Jesus sending out the 12 apostles. They are sent to bring the message of salvation into the towns and villages. Now he extends this message, this mission, to a larger group of disciples. In this case, to the 72 disciples. Why 72? Now, you might know about the principle called the principle of first mention. Whenever we have a number, whenever we have a significant word in the scripture, it's always helpful to go back and look, where does this first appear? And if we look at scripture, the number 72 first appears in the book of Genesis in chapter 10, when there's this roll call of all the nations. And so 72 is that number of all of the different peoples, all of the different nations that essentially made up the known world at the time. 72, sometimes also translated as 70. There are texts that say, at one stage they say 70, at other texts, other manuscripts will say 72. That's less significant. You might also remember that when we, in the book of Exodus, we have Moses on Mount Sinai. The Lord instructed him to share the work, the ministry of leadership with others, with elders. And so he appointed 70 others. And then they were all gathered there and they received the gift of the Spirit when they were at the tent of meeting. But there were two others who were not there at the tent of the meeting, but the Spirit of the Lord also was sent upon them, and they began to prophesy and proclaim the wonders of God. In more recent times, a couple of hundred years before Christ, there was also the group of 70 rabbis who translated the divine word, the scriptures, the Hebrew Bible, from the Hebrew language into the Greek language. And the legend has it that these 70 rabbis all independently translated the word of God, the scriptures, from Hebrew into Greek, and all 70 of them agreed. That's this power of this number 70. So when Jesus sends out these 70 or the 72 disciples to go and bring this message of salvation into the villages that he himself was about to go into, all of this would have been in the minds of those who heard it. They would have understood if the mission of the 12 represented the mission of the leaders of this new community, the mission of the 72 represented the mission of the whole church, the church to the whole known world, that the 72 is the sign that it's not just the priests and religious who are called to evangelize, who are called with a mission to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. That mission extends across all of the world, extends to every single one of us gathered in the church today. sent on a mission in pairs, sent on this mission to bring freedom, to bring salvation, to proclaim liberty, to bring healing. This is the mission of the church right across the centuries. Wherever the gospel of Jesus Christ is proclaimed, these are the kinds of signs that always accompany this work and this ministry. That the presence of Jesus is always revealed and always made manifest by this proclamation of truth, this proclamation of freedom, this proclamation that brings good news into people's hearts. The same proclamation that began the ministry of Jesus when he, as I'm sure you will remember, when he stood up on that day, the first day that he proclaimed this message, back in chapter 4 of the Gospel of Luke, when in the synagogue at Nazareth, he quoted from the book of Isaiah, this time from chapter 61 of the book of Isaiah, and proclaimed that the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because he has anointed me and sent me to bring good news to the poor, to bring freedom to prisoners and liberty to those who are oppressed. This is the mission. This is what Jesus is sharing with these other apostles, with these now this wider group of the 72 disciples who are also sent to proclaim and bring this message of freedom. That's our call as church. That's our call as the people of God, to bring the freedom and liberation of Jesus here in this place of Ferrymeadow and Balgownie. This is our call to proclaim this freedom and this truth to our friends, to our neighbours, to all those that we come into daily contact with. But lest this mission, lest this proclamation seems too great for us, lest we feel overwhelmed by the power and by this obligation that the gospel of Jesus sends to us, I'm sure that's the reason that the church has given us today this most beautiful and lyrical passage from the final chapter of the book of Isaiah, chapter 66. There we have this image of God, God the Mother, God holding her child tenderly and with great compassion against her breast, providing nourishment, providing protection, providing life. That if we feel overwhelmed, if the days grow dark and we just can't handle what is happening to us, take the time to return to this image. Take the time to renew your understanding of the compassion of God, the way that God holds us and cares for us and provides everything we need to build us up again, so that indeed we can fulfill this mission. We can fulfill this call that Jesus places upon us to bring the good news of salvation, not just to our family and friends, but to all the nations together. Amen.